Good morning, everybody. I want to thank you all for giving me the honor and the privilege here to preach the gospel once again. I want to thank God for giving me the honor and privilege to preach the gospel here once again. Let's open with a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for his great sacrifice on that cross that has provided salvation for us all. And by believing on him, we may have eternal life as well. Father, we thank you for this moment now that we have to read thy word and to come to Christ. We pray for your blessing upon thy word, and we pray for your leading of thy Holy Spirit. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. A little difficult for me, the allergies season, and I'm congested a little bit, and so bear with me if you would. I'd like to start off with the love of God first. God loves mankind so much that he offers eternal life to everybody. It means we can all have eternal life. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 3. Well-known verse between a lot of us here. Jesus Christ himself said in verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Believeth in him, which means to trust in him, or to be committed to him, should not perish, which means shall not go to hell, but have everlasting life. This everlasting life is referring to eternal life. Now let's back up to verse 15 to verify this eternal life. Verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God loves mankind so much that he has offered eternal life to all who will believe on Jesus Christ, his Son. That means we can all go to heaven. That where there will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more ailing, no more sorrows or fears or anything bringing down our bodies ever again. I know me with a lot of pain. That's a great comfort for me to hear know that. No more pain, no more suffering, no more fears, no more tears, no more sorrows. Never have to worry about anything ever again. No more death, of course, no more death. That has been defeated. No more curse of sin ever to affect our bodies ever again. No more curse of sin ever to affect our bodies ever again. And that covers a wide range of things that disturb us. But the problem is sin. This is the problem right now, is that there is sin in this world, and all of us in our natural state, we are all born into sin. And being sinners, being born into sin, we are separated from God. That's our natural state. In our natural state, we are separated from God. Turn to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. We're going to read the first two verses. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Not that he cannot hear, but he will not hear. See, in our natural state, we're all sin is separated from God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Separated from God by sin. My example up here is man's on this side and God is on this side. And this podium here in the middle is this wall of sin that separates man from God. We cannot get through this wall on our own. Sin separates us from God. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us how we're dead in trespasses and sins. In our natural state, we're dead in trespasses and sins to God. Think about that. What can a person that's dead in trespasses and sins do that's good to have merit with God? Absolutely nothing. If you're dead in trespasses and sins, that means whatever you do is dead in trespasses and sins. And it has no merit with God at all. No matter how good you are, no matter what kind of a good deed you do, you're still dead in trespasses to God and divided by that wall of sin. But God is love. God does not want us to be separated from him in his love. God wants us all to have eternal life. Yes, you can have eternal life. If there's anybody here right now that's not sure of eternal life, you can have eternal life today. Today. See, God has a solution. God's solution is his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Gave his Son. That is on the cross. God gave up his Son as a sin sacrifice for the world. For our sins and for the sins of the whole world. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, God's Word. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, for he made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. For he made him to be sin for us. That's God the Father. For he made him, that is God the Son, referring to God the Son, made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Christ knew no sin. Christ could do no sin. That's why he could be the perfect sacrifice for sin. He was the perfect man, the God-man, as we would say. God manifested in the flesh, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Might be made the righteousness of God in him, because you have the free will to choose Christ in eternal life or to reject Christ in the eternal life. So it might be, you might have eternal life if you take it. Just like this Bible here that is free, I forgot to mention, there's a free Bible up here, a King James Bible. Brand new freedom, anybody who would like one. God wants you to have his word, and he wants you to have eternal life. If you take this Bible, it is yours. If you take the free gift of eternal life, it is yours. So I'm going to leave this Bible here until somebody either takes it or it's time to go. It's a free King James Bible. The words of Christ are in red. Even if you have a Bible and you might want another one for a different room to study in or whatnot, or even if you want to give the Bible to somebody else, please do so. That's what it's there for. To get back to 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him to be sin for us. Yes, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. On that cross, Christ died for our sins. We'll read in Peter, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. The tree representing the cross. It means God the Father laid the iniquity of us all on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on that cross. For God so loved the world of sinners. God so loved us all that he gave his only begotten Son on that cross to die for our sins. This is love. Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 8 says, God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commendeth his love toward us. Commendeth is an old English word that means to demonstrate. So it would sound like this. God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, which means still sinners, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That means Christ is the one who's going to reconcile us to God. Only Christ can break down this wall of sin because he is the one who died for our sins on the cross. Now, this is a great moment in time right now because this is the time that God has appointed for anybody here to come to Christ right now and to receive this free gift of eternal life. So I say it's a great moment because right now God is extending the invitation to you. If you want to come to Christ and receive the gift of eternal life, today is the day of salvation. Right now, now is the accepted time. Not tomorrow, not later, now is the accepted time. So, if you're not saved yet, you don't have eternal life, please take a moment right now. Come to Christ as a sinner. Pray for that salvation in your own words. Embrace Christ as your Lord and Savior. He will save you right now. He will save you right now. My favorite verse, Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We read up here, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Shalt, it says shalt I be saved. That's an old English word for shall be saved, which means you will be saved. If you trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Now, God wants you to know that you have eternal life, too. He does not want you to be questioning and be wondering, oh, am I really saved? Did Christ really save me? He wants you to know that you have eternal life. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John, the epistle, 1 John chapter 5. We're going to read verse 11, starting at verse 11. God says, and this is the record that God hath given to you, to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that have the Son have life. And he that have not the Son of God have not life. Pretty clear description right there. You have the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. If you don't have Christ, you're still dead in trespasses and sins. You don't have life. Verse 12. He that have the Son have life, and he that have not the Son of God have not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. To continue with the confidence that we have eternal life, let's turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. John chapter 10. All right, Jesus is speaking here in John chapter 10. We're going to read verse 27 through 29, even 30. Jesus says in verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And they follow me. See, Jesus was the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. We being the sheep following Christ, the good shepherd who gave his life for us. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." There's security number one. Christ has got us in his hand. "And no man is able to pluck them out of my hand," he says. Verse 29, "My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." There's the double security. We're in Christ's hand, the first security, and we're in God the Father's hand, the double security. And no man is able to take us out of God's hand. "I and my Father are one." They're speaking as one here as the security to us all. Looking at the time, wow, I wasn't expecting to have this much time here, but it doesn't really take that long to extend an invitation out to anybody who's not saved to come to Christ. We understand that we're all sinners, separated from God in our natural state. And Christ is the one who came to die for our sins, who is God the Son, God manifested in the flesh. And Christ died for our sins on the cross. And by coming to him and receiving that free gift of salvation, we can have it today. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to read verse 4 through 9. Let's read verse 4 through 9, Ephesians chapter 2. "But God, who was rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ." Quickened means made alive. Do you want to remain dead in trespasses and sins, or do you want to be made alive in Christ? "And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, as we come to a close here, I want to stress the danger of dying in your sins for a minute here. Let's go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 21. "Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and you shall die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come." That means if you die in this state, you die in your sins, that means you cannot go where Christ is. Now, to get a clear description where Christ is, Turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. We are going to read 50 through 53. Now, this is after Christ died for our sins and was resurrected. He's walking down the road with a group of people, and let's read what happened there as he's with this group of people after his resurrection. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. He was carried up into heaven right before their eyes. As they're walking down the road with Jesus, he was carried up into heaven right before their eyes. And that's where he is right now, sitting on the right hand of God the Father. When he himself had purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. You die in your sins. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15 says, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Where do you want to spend eternity? Do you want to spend eternity in heaven with Christ? Or do you want to spend eternity in the lost lake of fire, eternal damnation? The choice is yours. We have a great God that gives you free will to choose eternal life today. So this was a kind of a nice, easy invitation to anybody who would like to be saved and come to Christ today. I extend the invitation to you to come to Christ. God extends the invitation to you to come to Christ today for eternal life. May you take the moment now and make your prayers known to the Lord. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that we have eternal life through his sacrifice. And we thank you that you've given us this opportunity to come to Christ even now. Thank you, Father. May you save anyone's soul that is not saved here. May you part us with thy blessing. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Now, remember, we have the gospel outreach tonight in Elm Park at 6 o'clock. For anybody who would like to come and participate, to be a part of the gospel outreach, please come tonight. And here in Worcester at Elm Park, 6 o'clock tonight. Runs from 6 to 7 normally. So please show up. Thank you.